So that part of the week where we look at things happening in football on the other side of the Atlantic, MLS Monday is here. I'm joined as always by the Major League Soccer journalist, Drew Farmer. Drew, good afternoon.
Hi, Andy. Good to be here to talk about MLS and a few things outside the MLS as well.
Yeah, I mean, a lot to talk about today, and we did promise last time where we had, I think, an exclusively Major League Soccer-based episode. This time we said we would try and find stuff outside, and actually, naturally, lots of things is happening outside of MLS for us to talk about. First, though, let's just look at something within Major League Soccer. Chicago Fire, they keep just rumbling on. They are first placed in the East. They look brilliant, but there is an issue which is being described as hip pain, but it's for somebody quite significant.
Yeah, that's right. And as you say, they are in first place now in the Eastern Conference, but also first place in the overall table of Major League Soccer, and that's the Chicago Fire, who won for the second straight week with a 4-0 scoreline. And you did mention someone being injured with some hip pain, and that is one Bastian Schweinsteiger, who has really helped turn this club around since he arrived earlier this season. And the good news is, though, reports say that he's just day-to-day, which is a very American way of saying that, we're just going to see how he is tomorrow and the next day, and, well, he might get back into things soon. But Schweinsteiger, fantastic season so far this year, and if he is out for an extended period of time, which I don't really think he will be, it can hurt Chicago quite a bit. But the good news is Chicago do have a midweek fixture coming up against Portland Timbers. I expect him to sit out that game on Wednesday night, and then MLS will go into a two-week hibernation due to the CONCACAF Gold Cup. So he can have really 3 weeks off to get ready for that final push or that next push before the playoffs.
Yeah, I noticed the very American way with which the Fire said about the day-to-day. I mean, for those who are not as into Major League Soccer as we are, the name Bastian Schweinsteiger needs no explanation whatsoever, but I think it would be important to stress that in this Chicago Fire side, with the league as is, Bastian Schweinsteiger does not just fit in as a standard midfielder. I mean, he has become not the everything for that team, but he's a huge part of what they now do.
He is, absolutely, and a lot of that is down to his professionalism as a player. But, you know, we can't overlook some of these other players, such as Nemanja Nikolic, who was brought in the offseason, and he's a designated player as well and leading the league right now with 16 goals. He had a brace over the weekend, and, you know, he's really helped what Bastian Schweinsteiger is for that midfield and the locker room, he is to the attack that Chicago has. So, some great moves by the front office in the off season, and, you know, this team has really turned things around from what they were the last three years in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, they've gone from rubbish to really quite brilliant in that time. Right, so to continue just quickly on the MLS theme, stadium news. This is Atlanta FC. There is a new stadium which they are sharing, but there's a great eye on soccer being used to create this place.
Yeah, absolutely, and what the architects have said is that they had soccer in mind for the stadium when they built it in Atlanta for Atlanta United, and it will be shared with the Atlanta Falcons NFL team when it opens later this summer. And Atlanta United will actually kick things off there in September. Unfortunately, things were moved back from a late July start there due to some construction problems with the retractable roof there. But this is a stadium that's going to be costing $1.5 billion, Andy, which is going to be one of the most expensive stadiums in the U.S. But from all the pictures that I've seen and the renderings, I mean, it's going to be really worth it. And a lot of things are going to be going on in Atlanta thanks to this stadium. And, you know, Atlanta United are currently averaging the highest home attendance in Major League Soccer with over 46,000 fans. So they've taken over from your team, Seattle Sounders, and, you know, this is going to be a fantastic jewel of a stadium for that now soccer hotbed of Atlanta.
I just want to ask you a question, which, to be fair, if I did research, I may be able to find this out myself, but I just want to ask you, in America, we get multi-purpose stadia, as we're hearing with this. So you've got the NFL and Major League Soccer in there. At times, you can also get a situation where the baseball team ends up in there. I think I'm right in saying that the Braves play at, I think, SunTrust Park. There is no chance, because I just feel whenever you get that, like, diamond shape integrated in, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, absolutely. They just opened up SunTrust Park this season, I believe. And actually, we see at Yankee Stadium in New York, where New York City FC play, they play on the baseball field there, and it does really take away from the football matches. They have to actually make the width of the pitch much smaller than you normally would have on many of the other stadiums or on the pitches in Major League Soccer, and it really takes away from the type of football that they really want to play, a lot more up and down play rather than side to side. So, yeah, that does really take things away. And I think with Atlanta getting back to that stadium, the only thing that's going to be a drawback from this new stadium, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, is going to be the artificial turf that they're going to have so they can have so many different sports being played there.
Now, to move away from Major League and to, first of all, the Cup, there's a team who've become one of the favourites of the show. I mean, I've kind of forced that, but it's happened. FC Cincinnati, or Cincinnati FC, they have done brilliantly well to get themselves to the quarterfinals, including a brilliant keeping display in the previous round, or in this round that's seen them get through to the quarterfinal. But they're going to be facing another second-tier team, which is great because it means that one of them is going to be in the semi-final. But from my point of view, I'd have liked to have seen them both against MLS opposition.
Yeah, absolutely. I would have loved to have seen that too. But the good news is we will see one of these two sides, lower league sides, in the Final Four. And hopefully, in the end, we'll see one of them into the championship game. But as I said to you last week, I really think that to justify this growth of soccer in the U.S. and to really highlight what's being done outside of MLS, we need to see a lower league side playing in the MLS Cup final, or sorry, in the U.S. Open Cup final, and hopefully winning it. And hopefully, one of these two teams will make a strong effort for that. We've talked about the possibility of MLS having Miami Beckham FC. Well, Miami FC, they currently play in the NASL. They're managed by Italian legend Alessandro Nesta. And this is a team that they don't really have a great fan base. They average something like 3,000-4,000 fans a game. But by all reports, this is only their second season, but by all reports, they are growing that fan base right now. And they've also knocked off some MLS competition to get to this point in the Open Cup, and it's really raised some eyebrows in the city. So just like FC Cincinnati, this is a team that's really fighting for a bit of a foothold in their respective markets. And, maybe in the future, if this Miami Beckham FC thing doesn't really doesn't pan out, maybe this is a team that would attempt to go for some Major League Soccer status. But we all know what FC Cincinnati really brings to the table right now, and if they do make it to the final, I think that's just another great thing to put on their CV for application into MLS.
Yeah, and you know me, Drew, on a personal level, I'm always one for throwing the cat amongst the pigeons. So for this, I want the side who come from the city that has a rather big cat on its NFL team, which is the Bengals. So I'm Cincinnati all the way in this one.
When I was a kid, I used to love those Cincinnati Bengals striped helmets, and for a while, they were the team that I supported when it came to the NFL.
Drew, do you know Boomer? Was it Boomer Esiason? Is that the right name? Number 7, all the way through like the late 80s, 90s. I grew up with that. What a legend!
Yeah, Boomer Esiason and Icky Woods with the Icky Shuffle. It was a good time in Cincinnati in the late 80s, early 90s.
Why don't we do an NFL podcast, Drew?
we could do it, but you know, I'd really have to. Get back into the NFL, something I haven't really been into in quite some time.
I love it, but yeah, I would need to do a bit of brushing up, certainly. To keep us outside of the top flight, and there's actually an NFL connection to this one as well. A new team being talked about for the city of San Diego in California. Eden Hazard, Denver Barr and the likes' involvement in that. Now, the reason why I bring the NFL thing in is because I quite often ask when we talk about a new team, I say, Drew, does this city need a soccer team because it's got X, Y and Z? Well, from a San Diego point of view, I mean, there's baseball, there's the Padres, but their NFL team has done what is a very uniquely American thing and has said, we are upping sticks, we're going, we're moving somewhere else. So basically, there's a whole sports fan base in San Diego that's had the heart and soul, certainly from the NFL side, ripped out of it. This might be a perfect place for a soccer team.
I absolutely agree with what you just said, Andy. I think this is going to be a great city for for soccer. And it's not only great because they have a niche that they can grow, and there's that vacancy without other professional sports teams, but they have fantastic weather throughout the whole year. Southern California is a breeding ground for soccer, and you've also got the large Hispanic population that lives in Southern California. So I think this has all the making for a great soccer franchise that could be there. Now, this will be a North American Soccer League team, NASL, and they will be coming in to play next season. And as you said, they already have some celebrity soccer ownership in the form of Eden Hazard, Dimba Ba, Johan Cabaye, to partner with the local support. And, you know, this is quite a coup for the NASL, because MLS has been looking at San Diego and toying around with this idea of team there. But the NASL has beat them to the punch. And, you know, not too long ago, back in January, we had thought that the NASL was on its deathbed. They were losing teams. Andy, from last year to this year, the NASL lost 5 clubs to either going under, moving to MLS, or moving to the USL. Currently, only 8 teams play in the North American Soccer League. So they are now expanding once more. And San Diego, I have to say, is a great choice for a franchise.
These lower leagues, though, they seem to bring in, certainly from my point of view, they seem to bring in a bit more excitement in a way than Major League Soccer, just because maybe MLS is relatively settled, it's the top league, it knows that. We're getting now a state where we've got Phoenix Rising. That's quite an exciting project with Didier Drogba and Sean Wright Phillips. You've got then this San Diego, as yet unnamed team, that's got the buzz about it. There's FC Cincinnati, or Cincinnati FC, who bring in thousands every game. Am I just completely wrong in that? Do you know what I mean? I just sense there's a buzz about lower league soccer. And again, Detroit City FC, look at the crowd that they pull in and their social media presence from the fans and things. Bubbling under that main league, there's a lot of excitement and a lot of passion there.
I think there is. I think it shows that there is a very much an interest in soccer in the United States. But, you know, there was a line in a recent article from the Miami Herald about the Miami FC team, talking about how some fans viewed them with skepticism because they weren't in Major League Soccer. So I think there are quite a few fans, or quite a lot of fans out there, that want to see professional soccer of some sort. But then you've got those others who do look at it with an air of skepticism because it's not that top flight. It's seen as a minor league. So, you know, a lot of good things happening, as we do say, every week, it seems, but, you know, still a ways to go in the U.S. with soccer, and Canada, too, as well.
I'm going to go back to one of my favorite topics, and I know it's not the American way, but promotion and relegation.
Yes, there is a large, or a seemingly large, group on Twitter and social media that is calling for relegation and promotion, but, you know, I'm not sure really how I feel about it. I'd love to see it. Because, of course, I love the system, but I'm not really sure how well it would go down with the casual fan in the U.S. and the casual owner.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I, as a European, I'm completely used to it, but I'm also somebody who has watched American sports pretty much my entire life. And so, yeah, in the context of America, it would be alien. You don't ever see, you know, a big non-NFL team jumping into the league with somebody else going out. So, no, I get that. Just for me, it seems to be the quickest, most simple way to fix things. But, like I say, not the American way.
No, not at all.
Well, it's been fascinating chatting with you this time. You know, I always love to delve deeper into US soccer. It won't be me next time, so you'll have the joys of Richard Shorewright joining you on the podcast. But for this time, as always, Drew, been a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem, Andy. Always good to be here.